I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning and welcome to the service. It's a blessing to me to hear the ready responses to the suggestions for Sunday school discussion. I'm glad we're studying the book of John, but all of those would be great. And it's just a blessing to see the responses come so quickly and so varied. I think they'd all be interesting to study, but I'm glad we vote each time too, so look forward to that study. Yesterday was a big day for a lot of hunters. I heard some booming even before I got my clothes on yesterday morning. Heard somebody shooting out there, so I suppose there's some happy, maybe first-timers here. I don't know if there is any. Anybody shoot a deer for the first time? I don't see any hands, but I know that there were some from different communities that did, so that was a big thing. I would like to invite your attention this morning to I'd like to look at a concept. I remember years ago reading in one of the, in a book that I was reading, somebody had made reference to a non-church people, and they talked about the Old Testament. They said, yeah, that's where the thou shalt nots are. Thou shalt not. And you know, they weren't speaking from a spiritual viewpoint, but they had a point. Thou shalt not. Very many times in the Old Testament, I did a search, and there was over 200 times. In fact, there were so many times in Power Bible that you couldn't have it all in one list. It had to be shortened in order to get it. And so I shortened it and looked at that. Then went to the New Testament. And how many times is thou shalt not in the New Testament? Does anybody have any idea? It's 15 times. 15 times thou shalt not. And out of those 15 times, all of them are repeating a verse in the Old Testament, except for three. There's three times that it's not repeating an Old Testament thou shalt not. Now, we know a lot of them. Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. The Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, is full of thou shalt nots. And then there's a lot of others as well. And some of them are pretty creative. But in the New Testament, there are three times when it doesn't repeat one of the Old Testament. I'd like to look at each of those three times. The first one is in Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus is speaking here on the Sermon on the Mount, and we know that we're familiar with most of those words. But in Matthew 6, verse 5, he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." It seems rather significant that he makes a point of saying, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Just praying, just doing things to be seen of men. They were doing right things, but it was only because they were going to be seen. And they wanted to have an expression, they wanted to have an external sense of piety, but there was nothing within. He says, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Just external, nothing within. Okay, the next one is in Luke 12, verse 59. Jesus is, again, uses this illustration as in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, Agree with an adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt not come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And in Luke 12 it says that till thou hast paid the very last mite. I don't know what all the lessons are that he's telling us here, but he's telling us that we need to be aware of our surroundings, be alert, and be ready to take care of problems as they come up. And as they, if we don't, we will pay the last farthing. Thou shalt not depart thence until thou hast paid the last mite. And then the third one is in Revelation 3. And the church of Sardis is the focus here. Revelation 3, verse 3 says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come. If therefore thou shalt not watch." This is a positive written in a negative sense. He's telling us to be watchful. And that's what he says in verse 2. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Now let's read this backwards. Let's start with verse 3. Read verse 3, verse 2, and then verse 1. "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things saith he which hath seen, which hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." You know, it seems interesting to me that the church at Sardis was a church that had a good name. It had a name that had it had a reputation, in other words. And John, in writing to this church, by the Spirit of God, he says, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." A very, very sobering condemnation. But he says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die." And I believe that's a call for us today. I believe that's a call for our congregation today. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. And what are those things? I believe that those things are I'm not going to say that we're a bunch of heathens and pagans and things like that. I think we have a desire to serve the Lord. I think I sense that in our brotherhood. I think we have a desire to walk before God and be perfect like God commanded Abraham. Sometimes the things that we want, sometimes the things that we desire, maybe we might have differences of how to reach those things, but I think our desire is there, and I have that confidence in that. But how do we do it? Here he says, to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Or established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I believe that that's a key to how we should walk in our life. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. This morning we sang this song, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." Those words really stood out to me and gripped me. This is the victory, our faith, not in ourselves, but in our Lord. We believe that not only is he able to, but he will. He will deliver us, and he will guide us and keep us as our hearts are turned toward him. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thankfulness is a tremendous balance wheel. When we're thankful for something, it just helps keep things in balance. Now, and I'll just give you one illustration. Many of you youngsters, and I know I had a fascination with guns when I was little and still do somewhat, I get very, very concerned when a youngster has a gun and doesn't know how to use it. It's a dangerous weapon. It's dangerous. You can point that thing in the wrong direction, slight pull on the trigger, someone a mile away could die just very quickly. It's very dangerous. But the reasons that it can be a useful thing is when there is step-by-step mentoring, when the danger is understood, but when it's guided in the right way, and when it's pointed at a deer and you pull the trigger and the deer falls down, collapses, that's meeting one of the basic instincts of man is to provide meat for his household. It's a good thing. For you that are not meat eaters, no apology. The Bible says it's good. Meat is good. Okay? All right. You may choose not to like venison, that's all right. But it's good. Okay. But there's some real dangers there, but it can be safe. It can be made not as dangerous with step-to-step mentoring. Step-by-step mentoring. Missouri requires that if you're hunting by yourself, you have hunter certification. It means you went through a test and you understand and you know. If you don't have that, you need to be with a mentor. There are some other things that are just as dangerous that need mentoring as well. And it's up to the parents. It falls strictly on the mentors to provide that safety in that. I think that to strengthen that. Now, some people say that the computer is too dangerous, we don't want it, and that's fine. But my father-in-law used to thank God every day for the computers. And that's why I say thankfulness is a good balance wheel. In his daily prayers, he would thank God that he could have a computer and for that technology. He was always ahead of his time. He died when he was 85 or 6, and he loved it. And not every old person will, but there is one that was that way. Anyhow, so he was a thankfulness. Now, he would not have gone deer hunting. That was way too dangerous. But his boys all did, and his son-in-laws did mostly. But he was, that was not his thing. But computers were his thing. And so he thanked God for that. But today we're facing issues that are dangerous. They need mentoring, and there is a way of safety there. And that way of safety is what I would like to read here in Deanna. Hebrews 8, verse 8. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. This is the covenant that God has for the New Testament age. This is going to replace the thou shalt nots, because the laws are written in our hearts. This is not to say that there are no thou shalt nots. There's still, we know that there's many rules, but it's here. It comes from an inward motivation. It's not just following the letter is enough, but it comes from a heart that seeks to follow God, and it's going to be right with that. And I believe that that's where it needs to come to. The law is written in the heart. And whatever it takes to get that law written in the heart, you know, what does it take? It takes a relationship with Christ our Savior. It takes a walk with Him. As ye have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. I don't know. I remember well. I remember well the evening of November 2nd, 1969. An evening, a day that I gave my life to the Lord. It was at a revival meeting, and it was, I talked to the person that helped me to repentance and last summer, and it was just a blessed time. But it was a beginning of a walk. It was a beginning of a walk that I had, that had included many failures on my part. But it was a beginning of a relationship with the Lord that I hold a treasure. And this day is stronger than what it was on that day years ago. But I believe that in walking with Christ, the laws are put into our hearts and to our minds. And that's what's going to dictate our actions. It's going to be everything. It covers everything, every area of life, not just the clothes that we wear or the things that we do or the places we go, but it's who we are. It covers every area. And so a relationship is what we want for our families, and how to get there is to be there yourself. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.